It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast. It is me, Elise Swopes. It has been a month since we last chatted, and I decided to take a little podcast break because a girl can only talk so much. Honestly, I love doing my podcast, and I love studying for it. I love promoting it. I love everything about it. But, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of time to prepare and do. And I think, you know, I like to allow myself some space to breathe every now and then. And I hope that it allowed you to catch up on the other episodes that you may have missed. I know it's been quite a long road when it comes to my podcast, and you can kind of see the beginning from, you know, when I was recording on my laptop to how, you know, where it's at today. So it's definitely quite a process. But how have I been? I've been really good. I took a little vacation to Moab, Utah, which was absolutely amazing. I actually flew into Salt Lake, super safe flight. You know, I took every precaution possible, wore my mask, had tons of, you know, antibacterial, always washed my hands, did everything right. And clearly I'm not sick. It's been quite a bit since then. But I got into Salt Lake, stayed with my friend Cassie, and she and I and two of her friends went to the middle of the canyons in Moab. It's about 4 hours out of Salt Lake. And it was about an hour deep into the canyon that we were. And about an hour in, you know, I'm thinking, my cell phone's not working. I didn't even say goodbye to anybody. I didn't even tell my mom I'm out here. I mean, I told her I was, you know, going camping, but like, you kind of want to be like, okay, bye. See you in a few days, you know, just to kind of give a little note. But I didn't do that because I didn't have time and I didn't realize that my service would be out so quick. So it was a very different experience for me to be that disconnected because I'm kind of anxiety ridden quite often naturally. I came into this earth probably with a ton of anxiety because that's what it seems like at this point, but overthinking quite a bit. I'm just like, well, what happens if, you know, if something happens to my family, what happens to my cats, my boyfriend, you know, like they can't reach me. And what if it's days beyond and I find out that something bad happened to them? Or what if something happens to me out here? You know, I'm just thinking all these thoughts and these wild things, and you know, nothing happened. Of course, I get service for the first time and I'm just like bombarded with like 60 emails of business, and my mom texts me and she's like, Kanye's lost his mind. I'm like, okay, see, this is the type of stuff that you haven't talked to me in 3 days and you're texting me about. All right, I see where your head's at. So it was amazing, you know, to get away and to disconnect. And I think the next time I go out, I will keep in mind just a little bit more of that freedom space to not worry so much, to kind of let go and to not overthink and to enjoy the moment and be present. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of experience to kind of get through. I also got heat stroke because I mean, we were taking like tequila shots at like 10 a.m. and it was like 80, 90 degrees in the middle of like a canyon. And, you know, we're by the water, we're having a great time in a day. And of course, I don't really notice it until we head back to camp and the sun is going down. And my friend Sierra looks at me and she's like, girl, you have heat stroke. And I'm like, how do you know? And she's like, your face is so red. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I kind of sat down for a little bit. And then as I was sitting down, I like got really nauseous and I threw up all over the canyon. And, I felt a lot better afterwards, but then I started like shaking and getting really cold. And so they ended up putting like some ice cubes on my neck and on my wrists and stuff like that. And, you know, I got better pretty quickly, but it was definitely an experience. It made me feel alive. That's for sure. You know, I'm not upset about it. I'm not angry. I think the trip went exactly how it should have, to be honest, because, you know, those types of situations make you realize what you need to do and how you need to prepare for the next. And as much as, you know, I thought I was hydrating and taking care of myself, that, you know, I may have needed to do a little bit more. Or maybe do a little less, depending on who you ask, right? But I had a really great time, and I'm just really grateful to, you know, all the girls that made it such a really cool trip, and they really cared about me and made sure that I was safe and happy and taken care of. And I cannot wait to go back to Moab and hit up Salt Lake, and I would love to go more on like some water though. I love canoeing. I love water rafting. I really like being on a boat. You know, I think there's something really cool about being on water, but I'll be honest and say I really don't like being in water that much. So I might skip on that part. Also, another really fun announcement, I will be speaking at Adobe Max coming up on October 20th to the 22nd. I will be doing a session about mobile editing on Photoshop on the iPad. And the fun part is that, you know, Adobe's got a whole team that is recording all of these sessions, and it's going to be really cool, super high quality, really nice. And I'm pretty sure you can watch all of the sessions back, you know, as much as you want. But there will be a live session, I believe, on the 21st at 4 p.m. Pacific, where I will do a live Q&A and they will run my session, and I'm really excited. So if you go to register and, you know, fill out your schedule and all that good stuff through max.adobe.com, you will see that it's absolutely free, and I'm really, really excited. I mean, it does suck that, of course, it's online this year, because Adobe Max in person is one of the most unbelievable experiences that anyone could possibly have, but it's a really big blessing to be able to have the opportunity to speak to so many people on such a great scale for free for the first time. So I see the upside. Now, I'm sure there's so much more I could possibly talk about, but you're going to have to go and subscribe to my newsletter, because I will be sharing all the other updates that I think I haven't thought about at this moment in time on there. Let's get into our podcast topics, shall we? So today I'm going to be talking about hope, conceptualizing ideas, and value. And, you know, they're all different things, but in life, everything kind of coincides with one another. So I can imagine that at some point they will mean something with one another. But as I always do on my podcast, I'll have three separate topics, and I'll talk about those topics quite extensively through tips and advice and direction, and you can kind of be inspired from there. So let's get into it. Now, the interesting thing about hope is that hope is all about the sense of possibility, right? It's really not about being passive or just allowing things to be, you know? It's really just about not allowing it to kind of be your last ditch effort, you know, when everything's kind of falling apart. You should always begin with hope. And hope isn't a thing you just choose when you need it. It's a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It's something that is always internal when you are approaching every situation, experience in your life. And it takes a lot of practice, right? So the first thing about hope is you've got to make sure that you're practicing gratitude. Okay. And the thing about gratitude is, yes, be grateful for everything that you have, but also in that gratitude, make improvements, you know, just making sure that you are taking every experience as a value and benefit to you. You're taking lessons, you're learning, you're being present. Okay, and you're also within that, you'll be able to be present for other people. You'll be able to give more, you'll be more helpful. And that really also helps you in a way where you can be, you know, helpful for yourself. You can practice your own personal gratitudes when you listen and hear other people's issues and problems. And it can also help you when you give advice to other people and you hear that advice out loud. It really does shift something inside of you, because you do hear that too, right? So another thing too about hope is you've got to make sure that you're reflecting, you know, you're journaling, you're making things tangible and goal-oriented, and they're not just things that don't make sense. They've got to be tangible, and they've got to add up to your mission and your purpose. It's got to have a, you've got to have a plan, you know. I think there's a concept of having a life audit, and I've talked about this a bit in a few of my podcast episodes. It's the thing that I kind of do every once in a while, maybe once a month or once a week or whatever I need. It is really what it's about. It's checking in with your health. It's checking in with your work. It's checking in with your family and your friends, not literally texting them or calling them or sending them a message, but literally writing down, okay, how's my health? How am I taking care of it? How am I consistent with it? Okay, what's my work like? Am I happy? Am I good? You know, it's like, how's my family? Am I checking in with them? Am I happy with my relationship with them? And same with your friends. Are they toxic? Are they healthy? Are they helping you? You know, all these things are really gonna initiate a little bit more possibility instead of being that hopelessness in passivity, right? So think about the tangible, think about the hope audit, and you've got to be future-oriented in that sense. Now, we always talk about being present, and present is huge. You know, presence is great, but you've always got to be future-oriented in a way where you protect yourself to an extent, but you also got to know when to stop. Don't be so obsessed with your future that you don't stay present, because that future orientation will really give you a lot of anxiety and worry. If you're a creative like me, we love to let our imagination kind of flow too much maybe, right? And then the thing about that is we just don't want to wait. You know, we want to take action within those goals and those dreams because, you know, we just don't want to sit around and hope that things will happen, hope that they'll fall into our lap. Things don't just happen because we're hopeful for them or that we're waiting for them. There is action that comes within those things. And I believe that, you know, luck is preparation times opportunity. Okay. I don't think luck happens to random people at any time. It's also that there's a preparation for them. There's an opportunity aside from that that may not be in their control, but the preparation is, whether it's going out of their way to do something more or going out of their way to take a chance or a risk, you know, it's what it's all about. Now, you've also got to think about how you're empowering yourself. Think about how you're listing your successes, your skills, your abilities. How, like, what are your resources? Who are you and what are your actual tangible things that you can be successful at? Which is really going to bring you to a really hopeful place all the time, because when you're aware of what you empower yourself with, I mean, that's your mission, that's your purpose. That's what allows you not to be so aimless and distracted in comparison with everybody else. You've also got to think about your self-care. Are you meditating? Are you breathing? Are you practicing your physical, spiritual health? Okay, because these things are going to really add up to your hope a ton. I mean, it's not funny, you know, I'm not going to say it's funny, but I will say that sometimes, you know, when I'm talking to someone and they're telling me a lot of issues that they're having and I'm thinking, you know, what is your self-care routine like? What are you practicing day to day? How do you keep up with yourself? How are you your own friend? And a lot of the responses I get are not that exciting. They're really lackluster, and you've got to think deep. Be honest with yourself. Your soul knows the truth about your own life. That's where our, like, certain, you know, mental illnesses may stem from, you know, the depression, the anxiety, all these weird feelings that we feel inside. We may not be accountable to ourselves. And we know that from the inside. And it's, you know, this never-ending kind of cycle within ourselves to kind of hold ourselves accountable. But outside ourselves, we're not taking the action to be that. And I only speak for myself, you know, and that's my experience of how I got out of a lot of my mental illness issues. Was I think I had to realize that I wasn't being accountable or responsible. And I think I gave a lot of my blame and I became a victim to a lot of the things in the world and in life. And it wasn't until I started, you know, kind of sacrificing a lot of things in life to gain a sense of freedom and a sense of self that I started seeing really the worth of self-care and all the good things that make hope worth it. Now, another thing about hope is you've got to be open to change, because change is inevitable. And the biggest issue with a lot of people is the resistance to a lot of things in life. My biggest resistance, and this is right immediately when my life changes, my biggest resistance was my finances. My biggest resistance was asking for help. My biggest resistance was taking a chance on myself and my ideas and being afraid what other people may think, you know? And when I finally took that chance and was opening to the change that my gut was telling me, even though my mind was kind of like, no, 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 or maybe other people were like, no, 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 you know, but I felt this weird gut, amazing feeling that was like, I gotta do this. Well, I did it. And that was when a lot of different opportunities started opening up for me. Now, it was also about accepting where I was, right? I think acceptance is huge. And acceptance to some people may be, okay, I'm going to just be passive. Well, that's not what we're talking about here, right? Hopelessness is passiveness. We're talking about acceptance as what everything is and making a change based on that acceptance and not just throwing it to the side or ignoring it or making it what it isn't. Okay? So you've got to take actionable steps on your acceptance of change or things that may be. You've also got to understand that there's no guarantees to anything in this life or anything in this world. Anything that you do, anything that you give, anything that you try, there is no guarantees except for the things that you can control in your own self. And that's where we begin in our conversation of value in our third topic. You've also got to be open to help, asking for help, like I've talked about quite a bit. It's a really important part of self-care and education and opening yourself and your mind up to different possibilities and opportunities. You know, you can only control yourself. And when you can control yourself, you've got to have the opportunity for newness. Newness cannot be within you at all times because you are just you. I mean, you've got to open yourself to different people, have some empathy, have some understanding, listen, not just to speak, but to hear and to understand is really, really important. And this is all tied into hope. Hope is a very extensive process. It's not just something, you know, you pray about. It's like a never-ending challenge and like to-do list and rule and process. It's fun. I think it's fun, at least for me. I find fun in the challenge of life at this point. Now, apart from being open to change, you do have to be curious and open to the unknown. It kind of goes, you know, hand in hand, of course. And you've got to make peace with your purpose, okay? And I keep talking about this mission, this purpose, this thing. You have to understand that the only way to, I mean, and it's not just the only way, you know, but this is really kind of what works for me, is that you need to understand that every day you wake up, you have something to look forward to, whether it's something to work on, whether it's something that you are interested in, whether it's something that you want to get better at or whatever it is, to learn, to educate yourself, to help someone, whatever it is, think about that mission and that purpose and make it tangible. Okay, because that's what's going to help you with the unknown. It's going to help you with whatever comes up, the aimlessness, the comparisons, the things, the randomness, the unexpected. Your mission and your purpose is going to allow you to not be disrupted by what comes because you know that in the end, it doesn't matter to the whole grand scheme. You understand? So that, at least that's what works for me. You know, it doesn't work for everybody, of course, but, you know, that's something that really does assist me in my day-to-day because I actually lead with my imperfections. It used to upset me, but I think now when I lead with my imperfection, it gives me something to do. It gives me a purpose. It gives me a driven mission every day because I'm never going to be 100% fully perfect. And when I am, that means I'm basically done with life. What more is there to do? I would rather be imperfect because now I get to read unlimited books. I get to humble myself. I get to learn. I get to listen. I get to befriend people. I get to educate myself continuously on anything in this entire world. So don't limit yourself. Perfection is really the limitation at the end of the day. You're waiting for something to give you a sign where that you're ready, but you're never ready. You're never going to be ready. So be not ready right now. So hope is all about making an authentic connection to the possibilities of life. And that means making sure that you're having truthful connections with people, making authentic connections with people. And you've also got to make sure that you're forgiving and letting go. You're not attaching to things that make no sense to your life. Because if you're living by the mistakes that someone else has made, then you're not even living your life anymore. You've got to understand that at some point you've got to let go in order to continue to be what you want to be. And of course, you can allow certain things and certain things, you know, situations in your life to inspire things to better other people and to better yourself, which has been done plenty of times. But if it depletes you in a way, then you need to let it go and you need to forgive. And you don't need to forget necessarily, but you need to forgive just for yourself. Now, last but not least, when it comes to hope, you've got to practice mindfulness and awareness. This is probably the most important thing you might do in your life is be mindful and aware. Because the thing about being mindful and aware is that you need to understand that your brain is always going to be telling you things that you don't necessarily need to follow. And when that awareness and that mindfulness comes into play is your ability to respond to those thoughts in a way where it can assist you in your day-to-day, okay? So when you have a thought that you can discern between real and nonsense, then that's mindfulness and awareness. And that takes quite a bit of practice. It does. I have been practicing mindfulness and awareness for the last 4 years consistently. It's been quite a process, and it's a humbling process. It means that you need to take responsibility for your emotions and your actions and your past, your present, and your future, which doesn't necessarily mean you're at fault, but it just means that when you take responsibility, you get control back. And mindfulness and awareness is simply a way to cope with day-to-day triggers, with news, with things, with experiences, with inner turmoils, external turmoils. Be kind to yourself. And that's what mindfulness and awareness is really just being kind to other people, to yourself, being understanding, being patient, and being responsive instead of reactive. Because when reactive, we are just responding with our pain, our lessons of from childhood, our, you know, without thinking. But when we respond, you know, we're patient, we're aware, we're seeing, we're clear, we're breathing, we're taking a moment, we know what the future outcome may hold through our actions, okay? That's what that really is at the end of the day. But it takes a little bit of practice because you have to understand that you are your own friend. You got to be kind to yourself. And you also need to understand that hope is a habit. And the more that you trust your soul, the more that hope can play a better role for you. But when you're trusting your mind so much, you know, things are going to get a little saucy. And that's just for everybody. And I think we have to understand that the mind is not a place where, you know, I mean, everyone's mind is a different type of room. And through that, everyone didn't grow up the same way to respond to the way that the brain works. All of our brain works the same way. It's just that the way that we respond and make friends and be mindful and aware of it is where all of the different experiences and personalities and characteristics of us begin. So think about that a little bit. And you've also got to think about hope, and I'll end this here. Hope is interesting because it releases dopamine. It releases endorphins and other neurochemicals in our brains that give us happiness and peace and glory and confidence and this inner warmth. And keep that in mind, because hope is, it's not something to just pick up and use when you feel like it. It's a practice, it's a lifestyle, and it's a mentality that can truly help you with your health in the long run. And it can really help you with a lot of things in your day-to-day and what you want for yourself. So it could help with your ideas, as we're going to really talk about as well. And it could help you even with your value of yourself and how to show your value to other people. So let's get into how to conceptualize ideas. Now, the thing about conceptualizing is conceptualizing can be anything. It can be art, it can be work, it can be in your day-to-day life. I mean, conceptualizing is simply an idea. It's a connection. It's an association to something that may help some way or somehow, right? And it's interesting because some of the greatest ideas really don't come from like think tanks or, you know, rooms where everyone's sitting around in a circle. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, of course, that can work. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the most unexpected moments is where a lot of the greatest ideas come from. And all the best ideas are kind of, in a way, just trying to solve most of the minor, you know, work or life problems we have in our everyday. The best way, I think, to have a good idea in the long run is to really just have a lot of them. It's to just have an abundance of ideas and to not limit yourself. And some of these tips are really going to help you with conceptualizing an idea. When it comes to doing a project or think of an idea or something where I need to, you know, just really sit down, I have a study session. And what that study session entails is I have to think about what am I trying to accomplish. And that's with anything, whether it's the project or the brief that someone has sent me or a personal piece of art or whatever. I'm really just trying to think about, okay, what's the point here? What is my message? What do I need to do? What are my asks? What are my requests? You know, like all of this is necessary. And I'm also thinking about the history of whatever I'm doing. You know, I'm studying a little bit further. Maybe I'm Googling the brand. Maybe I'm studying what they did last. Maybe I'm, you know, just really thinking a little bit deeper about what it is I'm entering into, because I don't want to just step on any toes, and I want to do a 50-50 kind of collaboration in the end where everyone's feeling really happy and successful. And I'm also thinking about the future. I'm thinking about what are they trying to accomplish? What is the outcome? What can really make someone proud to show and to share and to talk about and to be involved with, okay? And within that study session, I'm also making sure that I'm not doing it like all day. You know, I want to make sure that I'm limiting myself to like an hour or 2 hours, because once you get past that 2 hours, and I've talked about this on a few of my other podcasts, is once you get past that 2.5 hour mark, 2 hour mark, your brain just starts getting involved. And we've talked about how the brain, when it gets involved, sometimes it's not very fun. And that's when, you know, we lose that soul work. And so we want to just make sure that that soul work continues. And the best way to keep ideas and fun stuff going is when we speak from our soul and not too much from our brain. And so limit your time and make sure that you're revisiting good ideas to, you know, sleep on things, take a break between, so that you can kind of see it with a new fresh mindset. You also want to think about planning and organizing this session in this time. It's huge to have a calendar space where you're not rushing to get things done. If you need and you know that you're going to need to sleep on an idea, make sure that you're giving yourself a time to sleep on it. Like, you shouldn't do a project or have an idea the day before it's due, because you will not allow yourself to sleep on it or have that space to think back or to relate or to, you know, reconceptualize. Like, you need to give yourself the plan and the effort to not finish in 1 day, to not finish in 2 days, to not even finish in 3 days. You know, give yourself that space to work in an amount of time where maybe it doesn't work or maybe it does. And if it does work, then great. You're gonna have a few days where you have free time to actually work on something else. So make sure you're limiting your time and allowing the revisit to plan, to organize within all of that. You also want to think about seeing the opposing side within every study and session that you're having, because sometimes our ideas may seem a little centric, and we got to make sure that we're thinking of the brand, we're thinking of the agency, like I said, we're thinking even of our audience and what's going on in the world. There have been plenty of times where I've had to post an ad or do something or have some kind of project where what's going on in the world doesn't match up with what I'm talking about, and it's very weird and uncomfortable, and of course you're going to need to talk to somebody about it, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, it helps both of you, and you don't want to just say yes to just get stuff done. You want to make sure that you're doing the long-term investment on a ton of these projects. So just make sure that you are seeing the opposing side when you're coming up on an idea. Now, mind mapping, I loved mind map. And mind mapping is really just kind of, you know, relating and referencing words and sayings and different things and writing stuff down. I am a huge believer in a pen and a piece of paper, or a pencil and a piece of paper, because I think that that's where our brain kind of just lets everything go. And that's where we can kind of organize all of our thoughts in a really good way. And I think if you can have a study session and write down, what are you trying to accomplish? Write down the history, write down the future, write down all of your plans and all the opposing and everything we talked about, you know, that's really going to help you see everything and be able to map everything out and get it in a way where you're not overwhelmed. And maybe even better ideas can come from that, when you don't have to keep everything floating inside your mind. Another great way to come up with ideas is to read more books and to journal and to study other things. Listen to podcasts, watch documentaries, study your heroes, ask questions. It's really going to help you in the long run so that you can get inspired and realize that at the end of the day, everybody's just a human. And we're all just trying to do our best and tell our story and pull from that. And the more you can educate yourself on, you know, all those kind of things, you start realizing that you're not alone and that there's a lot out there to help you. So, you know, don't limit yourself to an idea of just inside yourself. Think outside the box and you'll start realizing that that box is really just a box we're all inside ourselves. And when we just open our minds, anything is possible. So be open to new experiences. And really just be open to humbling yourself in learning about different people. You are not the only person on this earth who has experienced, you know, the things that you've experienced. And so just allow that to create a community for yourself. Allow that to create ideas and to open up different possibilities and opportunities for yourself. Because at the end of the day, when we limit ourselves to these individualistic kind of mentalities, we kind of shut ourselves off from a lot of things that could be. My favorite thing about having an idea is my journal. I have a big notebook. It's like one of those six subject notebooks from like high school, you know, that you used to have. I have that and I organize everything in there, from my podcast topics to my ideas to my projects to my everything. It's just really cool to kind of look back at it and see how much I've worked and how many ideas I've put together. And I just really enjoy it. And, you know, I think it's really important too that you enjoy your stationery that you use. Have a nice notebook that you like to use. Have a good paper that feels nice to touch or to write on. Have a good, like, your favorite pencil, your favorite pen, you know, just like all your favorite colors. If you want stickers on there, like, do stickers. Just have a good time with your organization and your studying and your notebook taking and your study sessions, you know. I mean, it's just about having a space, and a really cozy space, to feel like you can journal and not be held back. And the important thing about ideas too is you've also got to learn to let go. You gotta know when to move on, and you gotta know when to just be grateful for when an idea came and what you learned from it and what you can take from it. And I mean, that's sometimes all an idea can be, is just something that was an experience. And not everything needs to be the next best thing, or, you know, something that you continue doing. You know, you can just kind of pull what you needed from it and just move forward. Another very important thing about ideas is make sure that you're collaborating, right? Get a peek into someone else's life. And that's not just, I don't know, like watching documentaries and reading books, of course, because that's very important. But I'm not much of a fan of asking people to pick brains or whatever. Do not ask someone to pick their brain. I just cannot stand that saying. I think it's weird. It's not cool. And people have worked way too hard for you to just come here and ask for free information, right? Just when you want to get a peek into somebody else's life, hire them for something, okay? And it doesn't need to be extravagant. It doesn't need to be anything. Just pay them. Give them a little bit of money, because money is nice and money makes people feel good. And let me tell you this, money is absolutely renewable and you'll get it back, because, I mean, that's just the way it works. When you invest in yourself and when you invest in collaboration, you get a lot of good things back, okay? So don't be afraid to invest in a peek into someone else's life, if you can, of course, okay? And also ask for help. You know, ask them for help instead of asking to pick brain. Say, I'm having a problem with this. I would really love if you could help me, right? And just consider that. Consider your tone, consider your language about asking people in collaboration, because it's really, really important. And last but not least about ideas is that you've got to take action. This is the funny thing about ideas, is that ideas still give the same neurochemical reaction as completing the task, right? And so even just simply talking about your ideas is making you almost feel like you did them. And that's why a lot of people actually just don't follow through with their ideas. And it's surprising, it seems a little ridiculous, but it's real. Because they still feel the excitement of simply just talking about it, but you've got to get used to actually taking the step. Take the plunge. But, you know, it's also good to talk about your ideas too. Hold yourself accountable. Hold other people, you know, have other people hold you accountable. But the most important thing, the thing about ideas is be patient, okay? Ideas are, they can be random. They can be random. And I think my favorite ideas always come up when I am allowing empty space for it to come. Sometimes the study sessions and the things where I'm really focused are about the facts. It's about laying the base. It's about laying the foundation in my mind to get something from. But the idea doesn't start at the study session. The idea begins when I'm in life and I'm experiencing something and it pops up and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's great. I'm going to use that for that. Like, that's what an idea is. So that's where the, you know, you've got to separate the study session from the actual, like, the conceptualization of the idea. It's like, that isn't where it always starts. And of course it can. I'm just excited about that concept. So be patient though, and know that the ideas may come in empty space. Sleep on it. Give yourself that space again, like I said, to have free range, to give yourself enough time to not have to do it the next day or the day after that. You know, plan enough so that you can sleep on it and give yourself space to see it with a fresh mind and a fresh eye. Now, the thing about ideas, and I'll just end this with this, is that everyone has ideas. Everyone in this world is creative. I will never allow anyone to tell me they don't have ideas, because it's nonsense. Because everyone's got a story, and everyone has some kind of audience in some way, shape, or form. And everyone has an amount of surprise in them, okay? And everyone can share the spotlight on someone or something. You can embrace your mistakes very easily, just as anyone else can, and you can think long term. These are important idea starters, okay? So think about things that are a part of your story. Think about ideas that you can collab with other people who look up to you or people around you. Think about the surprises you can give. Think about how you can share the spotlight with someone. How can you help someone out? How can you share or lift someone? And how can you embrace your mistakes? Can you share your mistakes? Can you talk about them? Can you help other people through that? And think long term. What do you need to study? What can you invest in? What can you do? It won't be immediate. Immediate things are not that great if you really think about it. So maybe you need to think long term anyway. Okay, so value is a very fun topic because, I mean, there's a lot of conversation around it. Value matters because it's the thing that really no one can kind of take away from you. It's the confidence and awareness of the development of one's future, okay? And your value is, I believe value is very personal, at least for me. It's very, very personal. And I don't think it has anything to do with how people treat you or how people think of you or anything like that, because it really depends on how you think and how you want to decide how you feel. And that may take a lot of work because it's kind of in line with, you know, self-worth a little bit, but not quite. But value at the end of the day does begin entirely with you. Okay, so you've got to think about your positive self-esteem. What's your sleep like? What do you drink? What do you eat? What's your stress level like? Are you taking care of yourself at the end of the day? Do you meditate? What's your gratitude? Are you judgy? A lot of these things are going to mean a lot to how you value yourself, because the way that you see others and the way you see yourself is really, at the end of the day, it means a lot to your self-esteem and the way that you see your self-worth. And so at the end of the day, how you're going to help that is by helping yourself by affirmation, staying healthy, staying fit, being smart, understanding that kindness is important, not just for yourself, but to others. You've got to be your own friend, okay? And when you make this plan, you got to make sure you stick to it, okay? Because these values, I mean, value starts at trust. It starts at trust with yourself. It starts with believing what you say to yourself. And the only way you can believe what you say to yourself is if you actually hold yourself accountable, because there is a sense of trust within ourselves. Of course, I believe it. Also, one of the most important things about value is knowing the difference you make, okay? And we keep talking about authenticity because it's important. Authenticity is everything. Authenticity is the difference that you make. It's your story, and that's where you should begin. You've got to think about long-term like we've been talking, and not short-term popularity, because those things are not going to lead you to true value, okay? And that involves your knowledge, your skills, your insights, the things that you know to be. And you've also got to think about, you know, the difference that you make is, how do you save time? How do you save money? How do you save frustrations and stress and health? I mean, those are the things that give your life value to other people. And you don't need to be an expert. You don't need to be the best. You don't need to be anything. You can be a beginner, an intermediate, or an expert. You can be anything you want, but there's always a beginning stage for everyone who is looking for advice. So, do you exceed any expectation in any level you're at? That's another thing to consider. Most importantly about value, you want to know that you're going to be valued, and when you are valued somewhere, when you're happy. Okay? Value begins at happiness and peace. Value begins at fulfillment and excitement. But it definitely is not about annoyance and anger. You know when you're not being valued, when it doesn't feel good and you are annoyed that you're even doing it and you're just mad that it's a thing that you said yes to. That's when you know the value isn't there. What's going to make you feel good and make you feel like you matter? Now, when it comes to values, you want to make sure that we're being clear of our values in the first place. And you want to consider maybe one to two things on each one of these topics: is in your career, within money, within your health, within your relationships, within your lifestyle, within your community, in your time, and your personal growth. Okay. And when you sit down and kind of write down the things that are important within those things, that's where your value lies. And that's where you should focus most on your day to day. And so for me personally, within my career, it's all about my integrity. Okay. And my skill. How am I getting better? How am I being a good business partner? How am I helping people? How am I getting the job done? Within my money, I'm thinking about my security and making smart choices. Within my health, I'm thinking about my physical health, my mental health, even my spiritual. And in my relationships, my most valuable thing is trust and love. So I got to make sure that I'm bringing that in everything I'm in. I'm also thinking about my lifestyle. So I've got a lot of morals, but I also want to make sure that my freedom is important always. And within my community, I'm always making sure I'm giving and I'm helping. And within my time, actually, I'm reading a book right now called The Time Paradox. I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but it's such a great book. You should read it. And it talks about the concept of, you know, being present and being future oriented and having a past positive mentality. Well, that's me specifically, is I'm very present, but I do have a bit of future orientation, which makes me very goal oriented. But I also have a really great past positive, which means I think about my past in a really positive way, which helps me in my day to day. It's a good thing to kind of keep in mind, especially when you are thinking of your value, thinking of, what's important to you. So for personal growth, for me, it's about my challenges for my day to day and just making sure that I'm staying aware and mindful. Now, Another important piece of value is making sure that you're enjoying your internal celebrations. You're not just like being of value for other people. You have to understand that being of value is not so that you are to please people, to perform for people, to be walked on. Your value is to feel good inside of your body, okay? So that's where you begin. You don't just say yes when you mean no. You don't live entirely by material items. And you're not passive aggressive in all your relationships. You're making sure that you are excited, you know, about your value, about who you are. You're loud and you share and you're proud of who you are for you because it makes you feel good inside, okay? So that's where value begins. It's not about anyone else, but about you and your personal feelings. Another thing about value is that time is very important. And of course, I even tweeted and it's going, it's having a lot of nice likes and retweets right now, but I said I'd rather be paid for my value than my time. And the thing about it is time is important, of course, because it's something we can never get back. But time is, it's more important than money, and time is all about using it instead of it using you. And when you use time, it allows you to add value to yourself instead of, you know, using time as it being of value, if that makes sense. So just because you're somewhere for a long time doesn't mean that you're of value. It just means that you've been there a long time. But within that time, you need to make sure that you're taking action so that you're growing, you're getting better, you're adding something to the system that you're a part of, okay? So be patient. Don't rush value because it's a long-term investment. Another important thing about value is changing your perspective. I mean, I've talked about this a little bit too about projects, is making sure that you see from the client view and understand what that means for someone who is giving you money and how they have to share that with someone else and they have a higher up and they have someone else they need to report to, you know, making sure that you're not just the only person who matters within any kind of situation you're in. Money comes from someone. Doesn't just fall from the sky. So you do have an obligation for some reason to somebody. And I think if it's always in your best interest to see from that view so that you can also, you know, help someone, but also help yourself. You've also got to understand how comparison works with a perspective. Now, value can be depleted sometimes by the way we see the success in others. But in reality, we need to understand that comparison really is just a survivalistic tactic. Oh, I mean, I keep talking about this audit, this life, this purpose, this mission concept, and it's so important. Think about what's going to bring you peace. What do you want to do? Who do you want to help? And why do you want to do it? And that's where you need to focus. Make it tangible, make it goal-oriented, and make it task-worthy. Because then it's going to lead you to less comparison. And when someone else does something, that's good for them. That's for their purpose. That's for their mission. That's their thing. But it doesn't work in yours because where does it add to the whole scenario? Sure, you can add some fun things in every now and then, and there's no hurt in that. But just realize that the less aimful you are, the more distracted you become. Now, we've talked a lot about, you know, the personal side of value, which I think is the most important part of valuing yourself before you even ask for money, before you even ask for, you know, anything that you may be thinking is of value. You have to understand that your mental and your physical and the way you hold yourself is what's going to set the tone for everything to follow. Now, if you'd like to value yourself a little bit higher financially, you've got to think about an accurate pricing for a positive impact, not just for yourself, but for other people. How can you successfully accomplish what they're asking by them providing you sustainability? Okay. But that doesn't mean giving like an ultimatum, you know, don't do ultimatums. It's odd. It's awkward. You want to make sure that if at least in the end, you don't leave empty handed, you know, minimize the ask, you know, help a little bit in a different way. Never leave empty handed. You can always assist in some way, somehow. And make sure that you're quoting with confidence. Study who you're asking. Find out what's going on with them. Know what they're what they can spend. I'm sure you can tell from the, in a way. And don't say things like, I know I'm not good. You know, it's I don't even know how to even say this, but don't lead with negatives ever. Always quote with confidence. Always lead with where you feel the best. That's what's going to bring you to that value, okay? Don't be apologetic about your products or who you are. Be really confident in that. Extremely confident, like, and that, but that begins in knowing yourself, knowing your skills, knowing what you can bring to the table. And that's where, you know, that's why we talked about all those other things initially, because that's where it begins. Now, you've also got to realize that collecting your fees is a part of the value system. Making sure that you have, you know, invoices, make sure you have good contracts, make sure you're taking care of yourself in the long run so that you don't have to chase people. You don't have to just feel like you're being unprofessional. You know, collecting your fees and being professional in that way brings value to the situation. It really does. Making people believe that you know what you're doing, right? So know your worth and understand the work you put in. Like I said, you got to think about what do you need at the end of the day that's going to make you feel the most comfortable. And that doesn't mean you need to tell people like a bullet list of your bills and stuff like that. Like, don't tell people your bills and the things. Like, just give them a straightforward answer and make sure that the value that you're bringing and the things that you're changing mean something. And that you feel like you're not going to be annoyed doing it. There's so much to say about value, but it all has to depend on your personal process. You have to understand that value starts with you, not anybody else. Value is physical, it's mental, it's spiritual, but it's not money. Your value is not in the external. It's in the internal that you have, the things that people can't take away from you. Understand that money is renewable and value is extensive. It's never ending. You can always educate yourself. You can always get better. You can always grow. But it starts at humbling yourself and enough, right? Well, thank you again so, so, so much for listening in to my podcast. As I always say, I know you have a million other things you could possibly be doing. And I'm just so grateful that you always take the time to hang out with me and to listen and to educate yourself and just be open enough to the possibilities, because I think that's the biggest, best first step you could possibly take. So take care, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.